God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
It's a little chilly this morning. At least it was where I was. When I woke up this morning, it was in the 50s. And we're sadly heading into the last few days of summer. I hate this time of year. I love summer so much. Well, not usually in the summers on Sunday, because we don't have air conditioning, but I do, while I like the fall, I do. I love the colors of the leaves and how pretty everything is and the Christmas in the air. But lately, it just seems to be a lead up to winter. Now you might guess, I am not much of a skier. It's true. It's really, you don't ever want to see that. But I think the summer, one of the reasons I love it so much, is also it's a time when we're most ourselves. I noticed this on Facebook, folks posting pictures from vacations. Come on, anybody do that? I did. Anybody post vacation pictures on Facebook? Oh, come on, you did too. They post some vacation shots. They're in their shorts, they're in their t-shirts, they're relaxed poses, they're smiling. Summer just seems to be a time when we allow ourselves to just be. We take time off our labors to rest and play, and it is at play when I think we are most ourselves. There's no need for formality or pretense. We are either alone or with those with whom we feel comfortable, I hope. It's an easier time, and no, I will not break into a bit from the opera Porgy and Bess. I will save you all that. But suffice it to say, this is a time generally when we're most relaxed. And it's when we are relaxed that we are most ourselves and most open to possibility, to awareness of things, to the wonder of stars at night, or the fun of a Ferris wheel, or the joy of words lifting off a page and into the imagination. Anybody read a book this summer? Right? I did. Well, technically I use Audible, but it's still a book. And it's a good time now, after all of that, at the close of the summer, to consider the question coming out of the text from Romans and Matthew today. Who do you say that you are? Now you may be thinking, some of you may be going back to your bulletins and looking, that isn't what Jesus said. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Not who do you say that you are? Well, let's look at these texts again. Jesus is walking around the border town of Caesarea Philippi, a place in which, like most border towns, everything is contested one side against the other. Who they are, who their gods are, who their leaders are. Not too unlike national borders today, right? And he asks his followers, hey, what are folks saying? Who do they think I am? And after they told them with some thought, he was Elijah, that some thought he was Elijah or John the Baptist or Superman in a tunic. Okay, I was just checking to see if you were really listening to me. He then did indeed say, cool, but who do you say that I am? Now that is some question. Let's park that for a moment and turn to St. Paul. In one of the most beautiful passages we have, and one of the most powerful, he writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God. He continues saying that our lives will take various forms, but all rooted in the same identity. We, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that all differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Okay, got all that? Jesus asks who we think he is, and Paul tells us who we need to be. Now you might be thinking, so what? So what? Well, really, no. The question really isn't so what, but so who? Wait. I mean who, not what. I'm so confused. Are you confused? I'm confused. Now, one of the joys of vacations for some of us is having the time to read a book or watch a movie. As I said, you know, some of us have been doing that. I'm sure some of you have seen a movie, right? I'm so far behind in everything, it's ridiculous. I'm still trying to catch up with the 1990s. And the thing about many of the bestsellers or box office hits is, particularly those produced for young, children and young adults, is that the entire narrative revolves around a protagonist who, in the course of the story, discovers something about his or herself, transforming those around them, too, on the journey. And you can change the character from Luke Skywalker to Harry Potter, from Meg Murphy to Elphaba, but no matter the name, there is an awakening to their purpose or who they are beneath the surface and what is possible, and that changes the world around them, right? It's no wonder that we enjoy these stories so much, because they are our own story too. From the moment we are born, we are the protagonists of the story of our life, the story of our discovery of who we are and what we are to do. Now, we often hear about those who call themselves spiritual but not religious, right? As if spiritual and religious were incompatible, when we're all spiritual beings from the moment we are born. We're all spiritual. Of course, that's a sermon for another day, but I think what those folks are getting at is really that they are seekers. They understand that there is something larger than themselves, and may even call that God, but they're trying to find their own meaning within that, and they have this idea that religions don't allow for that. And perhaps that's because we as a church lost our way for a long time and forgot to keep seeking, staying locked in the comfort zone of our doctrine. And yet we have some seeking to do as a church and as members within the church. And looming out there for all of us is a question for each of us. Who do you say that you are? Who do you say that you are? St. Paul was asking that question of each of us, both that in saying that both of us are individual and also part of a larger whole. And that larger whole for St. Paul is the body of Christ. And if we are the body of Christ, then the question being asked by Jesus in the gospel is a far more powerful one. Because I guarantee you, Jesus isn't having some sort of existential identity crisis here. He knows who he is. He's getting at something deeper, something he knows his disciples will wrestle with in the days ahead, something this rock called Peter will not get right initially. He sounds great today, right? But just tune in next week. And a few weeks after that, and a few weeks after that, it is Peter after all. And it is something many of us will try to figure out in our own lives. Who am I? There's a short story I'd like to share. It's about a woman who was in a coma. And she heard a voice as if from another realm. "Who are you?" the voice said. "I'm the wife of the mayor," she replied. "I did not ask whose wife you are, but who are you?" "I'm the mother of four children." "I didn't ask whose mother you are, but who you are." "I'm a philanthropist. I did not ask what you did with your money, but who you are." And so it went. No matter what she replied, she didn't seem to give a satisfactory answer to the question, "Who are you?" "I'm a doctor. I didn't ask what you did, but who you are." She evidently failed to understand the point of the inquiry, but she was sent back to life. And when she recovered from her illness, she set about finding who she was, and that made all the difference. And when I first heard the story, I was intrigued by the final words. When she recovered from her illness, she set about finding who she was, and that made all the difference. All the difference to her? Well, yeah, of course it did. But also to the world. For each of us is part of a larger body of humanity. For every one of us who is able to live the intentional life to which we are called, the transformative, not the conformative life, our impact on the rest of creation is life-changing, world-changing. That's why St. Paul is so emphatic that we not be conformed to this world, but transformed by it, to renew our minds that we might discern what God intends for us to be. And the world is in need, so much in need for us to be who we are. Who we are really, not what the world has labeled us. Because all around the world, there are people who seek to define others, who seek to define you. They oppress, marginalize, abuse, neglect, and kill the body, mind, and spirit of our brothers and sisters. And when they do this to anyone, they do this to us. We can never separate ourselves from them. We are, as St. Paul makes clear, all part of the same body. Now, he was talking about the body of Christ, but Jesus would say that we are also part of the larger body of the world, parts of the human body created by God. And there is something that God is desperately trying to tell us, or as Paul writes, willing us to do and to be. What that is will be different for each of us, just as it was in the way Jesus lived his life. You know, we often have this almost caricature Jesus, kind of like, you know, flat Jesus here, right? Still have flat Jesus. Flat Jesus and I are best buds. We think of him in just a particular way. But if you think about it, he wasn't just one thing, but many. At times he was contemplative, right? Praying in the garden, seeking respite from the crowds and communion with the Creator. Other times he was the prophet speaking to thousands, or a teacher to a small community, or a healer, a community organizer, a rabbi reading Torah, a counselor, a radical. We're not expected to be all those things, or all those things certainly at all time. Just as we're not the full body of Christ all by ourselves. But we are, if we're open to coming to know it, being called by God to be who we are, to answer the question of our existence in word and deed, to be able to respond to the question of our lives, who do you say that you are? Who are you? The thing that questions like this, as this woman found out, is not to try to answer them outright, but to live them. To dwell in them and thereby live into who we are. Or in the words of Rainer Maria Rilke, I think I just slaughtered that name again, whom I have quoted before, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign language. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. Who do you say that you are? And while you try to live into that question and into that answer, may you be transformed by the renewing of your mind and heart and soul, that you may discern the will of God for your life and live out that purpose in the world. For the world is in need of transformative people who refuse to be conformed to what is, but rather through their own lives spread the joy, hope, and possibility that will change the world through the power of God's love. Who do you say that you are? The story of your life is being written in answer to that very question. You are the protagonist, but there are two authors, you and God. It's a co-creative process through which you will live into the question, experience the answer, which in turn will likely open more questions. It's one heck of a story, or will be, or it could be. That is entirely up to you. Your co-author is hoping to collaborate with you, and the world looks forward to what happens next, to hearing and experiencing the answer as you live into the question. Who do you say that you are? Amen.